Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Don't hold back a kind word or a loving deed. They have God's blessing, the kind word and the loving deed, all over them. So every time you say a kind word or do a loving deed, you know God's blessing is on that. Oh, what a wonderful attitude to have when you're going through this life. And this life can sometimes be very unpleasant. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And before we get into the lesson, I'd like to invite you to come this Saturday, June the 12th. Breakfast is at 8:30. Now, you've heard me already say that we're not going to have lunch this month. So if you're hungry, you can come to breakfast at 8:30. It's not too early. Summertime is wonderful. And June, it's near the longest day of the year. So you can get out there and enjoy the morning. And then you can meet with us at 10 o'clock for a Bible study and for wonderful singing. After that, I'm headed for Colorado Springs. Kimberly and I are going to be doing a lot of juggling back and forth. Kimberly, it's so good to have you in the
studio.
Surprise!
I'm in the studio. I know I'm not supposed to be here because I'm supposed to be somewhere else, but I'm actually here with you. This is
yes.
Fun.
Oh, what a blessing. So we're going to be going in all directions because this is kind of a family affair.
Yes.
You're doing the wedding cake and a lot of people.
Transporting of a lot of food.
Yes. So I'm going to be going down to Colorado Springs, and there's going to be the rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner. And so we're just going to be involved with that on Saturday afternoon for Rebecca and Brandon's wedding on Sunday.
Yes.
It's going to work out beautifully, and I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
They're going to be married in a big red barn in the Black Forest east of Colorado Springs. Yes, it'll be wonderful, even though it'll be warm. So,
You have your meeting on Saturday morning.
Having their meetings June the 12th, Saturday. Call me at 1-866-917-7256, and I'll try to remind you at the end of the program today. And if you're thinking of something for your dad for Father's Day, go to MyPillow.com. It's not too late to order a pillow for your dad. A pillow, it's the one of the best things you could get your dad. Or also bedroom slippers. There are so many things you can get there. And he is being harassed by the left like no one else has been lately. So if you want to support Mike Lindell, go to MyPillow.com and support him. Support him with your money. Yeah, it's about time we do that. And I love to give to people that are, you know, they're called the underdog.
Yeah.
I love to support them. Yes.
Being so generous. Yes.
Yes. Yes. We were at First Watch this morning. What a treat. I got to go to First Watch with you and have a wonderful breakfast and listen to all. Did you hear while we were conversing all of the activity going on and the people talking and no masks? And it was just wonderful getting back to normal.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we will remind ourselves that we are truly free and that we will not allow ourselves one more time to be suppressed and oppressed like that, especially churches. The churches were meant to be free and open, and the body of Christ should be openly moving through this earth and shedding light, God's light, and bringing his kingdom here. And his kingdom is not hidden behind masks.
That's right.
The light is not hidden behind a mask. And so just having the boldness to know who we are, and I'm not saying to be confrontive about it or to start fights about it. There are going to be times when we just surrender to that and mm-hmm. put on the garb that we're supposed to put on just to be where we need to be and be that light and that love. But realizing who we really are, we don't belong here. This is not our home. Mm-hmm. And the life that we live in Christ. And I can't, I can't imagine that God intended for all of humanity to be buckled up behind masks for our last years.
That's right. And that was not the intent of our forefathers who formed this beautiful country. God had to inspire the amendments and the Constitution. I mean, when you read through them, you know that a higher power inspired these great
right.
men. And they meant for the government not to interfere with the churches.
Right.
That's their sole purpose. Mm-hmm. And here we see the government interfering with the church and worship
yeah.
of people.
Breaks my heart.
Yes, mine
Breaks
too.
My heart.
It does. Well, today we're going to talk about the believer's greatest weapon against the enemy.
Yes, and it's not the confronting and, and holding a hard line and forcing people to do things a certain way.
That's right.
And so we can't react that way either, going on the defensive. And being just as confrontive back is not the answer.
I know.
No.
Oh, it's so easy for us to get into that kind of a rut that I have got to prove to everybody how right I am.
Right. Oh, we're here because God wants us. Mm. He wants us. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be part of his realm and part of his life. He wants us as the body of Christ. He wants us as his bride.
Yeah.
If we could really wrap our minds around that, we wouldn't walk around so fearful mm-hmm. of what might happen in this life.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We were talking this morning about 2 Chronicles 20 and how King Jehoshaphat had an army, a huge army, come up against him mm-hmm. and all of Israel. And this huge army was not just one nation. It was many enemies that had joined together.
Yeah.
And it was so many that they couldn't, it looked like a sea of people. They couldn't count how many mm. were there. That would be very intimidating.
Yes.
But
what did he do? What did he do? This king of Judah, what did he do when he saw this immense army, this impossible situation coming against him? He went to the Lord.
He went to the Lord. I love that the report came to him in paper, in a letter form, and he took it before the Lord and laid it out before him.
That's right. That's
and said, they're not speaking against me. They're speaking against you, God. We are your people. We need to keep that same mindset and go to the Lord. And say, they're not speaking against me. They're not oppressing me. They're oppressing you, your kingdom, God. Mm-hmm. What would you like to do about this?
Mm-hmm. And most of you listening know this beautiful story that when they went out the next day, after he worshiped God, the Levites stood to praise the Lord. And with a very loud shout, the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. So after consulting with the people, the king appointed singers. Singers? This is war. We can't have singers. Oh, this is beautiful, Kimberly.
Yes.
Singers, praise and worship going on before.
Yes. And that is what we were created to do, to keep our eyes on the Lord, to keep our focus on him. And no matter what happens, no matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter how many armies come against us, that we would be able to worship and praise and remain true to who we really are, mm-hmm. remain authentic mm-hmm. to our pattern of who we were made for.
Yes.
And not get defensive and start to enter the battle with them. Okay, let's take up weapons. You're saying this to me. Well, I'm going to say this right back to you. You know, and we throw things, we throw darts back and forth with words and in other ways, but who we are, we're not of this world.
That's so true.
We are not of this world. We are ambassadors here, and we are to just show the light and the love of God. So showing the praise of God, showing his praises and worshiping him is the answer every time.
That's right. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. That's all that they said. They marched forward singing and giving praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, that's Edom, to start fighting among themselves. And the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against the allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them.
That is so beautiful. Yes, and I believe that the enemies, just like and we're going to get there, but just like in 2 Corinthians 10, the enemies that we face are not flesh. It's not the person right in front of you. It's not your job. It's not the situation that you're facing financially. Those are not the enemies.
That's right.
The enemies are, they are in the dark realm. They are principalities of darkness. They are powers in the evil realm that get into our thoughts. And the battlefield is actually in our own mind.
Yes.
It's not what's in front of us. It's in our own mind. And so removing those strongholds in our own mind is what sets us free to be able to just worship and say, God, I know you have this. This isn't my responsibility to fix this. Mm-hmm. My responsibility is a response, a responding to who you are. And you are great. And you do miracles so great. And I can stand here and worship you and watch you do something marvelous with this situation.
Yes. Now, there is such a difference between the Old Covenant. Now, see, in the Old Covenant, they came against human beings because that was God's precious nation of Israel. And he fought with them against all the enemies of Israel in the Old Testament. They were human beings. But then along comes Jesus in the New Covenant. He says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Mm-hmm. Oh, what? And Jesus brings a whole new perspective,
dynamic
to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
As you were saying that, I realized that Old Covenant came with the law. And we needed the law. We human beings needed the law just like we do as little kiddos. We need boundaries. Mm-hmm. We need some rules set up, because if we were allowed to just run everywhere, run out into the street, then a car can just hit us. We need the boundary. No, don't cross the curb here. Don't get off into the street. Mm-hmm. That's dangerous out there.
Yes.
And so the boundaries were set for us humans with the law. Moses gave us the law to try to remind us what we need to be, how we need to be acting, what we need to be observing.
Yes.
He gave us that law in the beginning so that we had some boundaries around us to differentiate us from worldly thinking and from the world's ways that caused everyone to go astray. When Jesus came, he came not to just demolish that law. He didn't come to wipe it out and say, okay, there's no rules now.
That's right.
But he came to show us relationship, and the relationship fulfills every one of those rules. We won't want to blaspheme God because we are so in love with him. Why would we say anything against him? We won't take his name in vain because we love him so much. Why would we curse his name and take his name in vain? Why would we do that? We won't put anything else before him. We won't steal or covet or lie or murder. We won't do those things when we love our neighbors. We're being invited into relationship now.
Yes, that's right.
And in relationship, those rules are now, they're not gone. They're now lifted to a higher level. They're fulfilled. Jesus came to help us fulfill the law.
Yes, one of the greatest examples of a transition between the law and the new covenant is Saul, who became Paul.
Oh.
And when he was living by the law, he was killing Christians. He was dragging them off to jail. He was confronting them in a physical way, thinking that he was doing the right thing. But when he realized what Jesus' word was, then he began to even love his persecutors. And we find here in Acts, I have this one little passage in Acts 16, 22 through 32. Paul and Silas were ministering, and instead of the mob agreeing with them and loving what they said, they beat them.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them severely with wooden rods. Mm. It says they were severely beaten, so you know the blood was running. And the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into a dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks.
Mm-hmm.
They were ready to die. For you know what they did around midnight?
Started singing praises.
Yes, yes. It's hurting. Their bodies were hurting, but they began praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. You never know, Kimberly, who else is looking on.
Right.
You were mentioning something at breakfast that when this church, how do I present this? The church came against you because of your worship and praise, and you are a fine worshiper. And sometimes the leaders of a church become jealous or competitive or whatever it was. You were allowing them to take over, and you were going down the elevator from this church. And this black gentleman joined you in the elevator. He was tearing down the equipment with you, I believe, after the service. And he said some words that you didn't quite understand at first. But what were those words?
You da bomb.
You da bomb.
Yeah.
Now, that was an uplifting, edifying thing to say at that time.
I just looked at him. I said, is that good? Yeah, my kids all talk like that now, and it's just, you're the bomb. You're the best.
You're the best.
But it was taking a back seat. I was staying quiet behind, even though I had been employed by the church and given a position of worship leader. I was the worship leader and being paid for that. But they asked me to no longer sing on the mic. They asked me to no longer be the main pianist and to not play anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I just played some strings in the background and let others go forward. And that was my heart's desire at that time, to build a team so that there were others that were learning and being moved forward, passing a torch.
That's right. Yes.
And being able to share that with that that position.
Yes.
That position.
But sometimes flesh gets involved.
Oh, yes.
With the jealousy and competition and all of that. But when we choose to be servants of all, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all.
Mm-hmm.
And God will bring it around someday.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul and Silas understood that when they began praising God and singing hymns. And there was a massive earthquake.
Mm.
Massive, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors flew open. And in fact, the jailer woke up, and he was going to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul shouted, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We're all here!" And the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He knew where that earthquake came from.
Right.
He knew the power that was in Paul and Silas. And he ran to them, and he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Mm.
And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." And when they shared the word of God with him and with all of his household, every one of them were saved.
Mm. I love that promise.
Oh,
I know many of you out there, friends, have family members that you are worried about, you're concerned about. And the Lord hears us. He hears our prayers. He loves us so much. He knows that our hearts are aching for our loved ones to come to him. And guess what? His heart aches even more than yours.
Yes.
And so when we join him in the sharing in the suffering of that ache, that achy heart that just wants them to come back, when we join him in that and ask him for their souls, he right here is a promise. You and your household shall be saved.
That's right. In fact, I would take that scripture from Acts 16, verse 31. If you have people in your household that are not saved, say that verse of scripture. I pray, Father God, that everyone in my household, all the relatives, will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved. And if you say that promise, believing, God is going to accomplish it. Maybe not even in your lifetime, but as they go living on and on, after you're gone home to the Lord Jesus, he's going to bring that to pass.
Absolutely.
Maybe not in your timing, but in his perfect timing.
Yes.
Yes.
We can have that assurance because he cares more than we do. It's not on us. It's on him. It's his work in them. It's his work in us.
Yes.
It's his work that is being accomplished. And we're just in agreement with it.
Yeah. That's why we were talking today about what are these strongholds that Paul is talking to us about tearing down the strongholds. Well, that's inside of us when we are just learning how God operates and how it is to believe in the Lord Jesus. We've got a lot of flesh hanging on us. So we're tearing down strongholds in ourselves first. And then when we are mature enough, then we can pray the right kind of prayers for those that we're praying for and not just correct. We were talking about how we wanted to correct everybody when, when we were.
Well, I've said it before. I like to follow rules. So if I'm following the rules, I better get everybody else on board, right? They need to follow the rules.
That's right.
But religion will always complicate with more and more and more rules.
Yes.
And grace, relationship simplifies it all.
It sure does.
And it comes right down to love, loving others and praising God. That's how we show love and we show him that we trust him.
That's right. Well, I've got a song by the Imperials and I want us to listen to it right now.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. They drop powerless.
That's so good. Yes.
Oh, he inhabits our praises.
Yes. Yes. Those chains that bind us are really in our mind. And often when we read these Bible stories and we see that Paul and Silas chose to praise the Lord, and then their chains dropped off, and then they were set free, and then their situation changed, then they ended up in a different place. We have to be careful of our expectations. We don't praise the Lord in order to get our expectations met. Mm-hmm. We praise the Lord because He is worthy.
Of who
because
He is.
He knows what He's doing in the middle of that situation.
Yes.
And we might be there like Joseph. We might be there another 3 years or so. And I know that doesn't sound like really encouraging news, but the encouragement is the strongholds in our mind, the chains in our mind can drop, and we can be set free to think of it differently if we will keep our focus and our praise and our words on Him. Yes. Keep a heart of gratitude instead of always thinking, I need this situation to change.
That's
and
right.
I am going to change it.
And a lot of people try.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimberly, their efforts are just...
Well, that's where we learn surrender, like Jesus did. He surrendered to the circumstances. The circumstances, it was interesting because the one reason why the Pharisees were coming against Him is because He was healing and restoring lives
mm-hmm.
on the Sabbath. And that's the one big reason why it got all stirred up. But Jesus actually surrendered to that circumstance, allowed the trial to happen, allowed Himself to be nailed to that cross and buried in a tomb. You know, we have to surrender our thoughts and our ideas to the situation that's at hand, because God is the one watching over the whole thing. And
yes.
our God is in the restoration business. And if He needs us to die completely to our idea, then we die. We surrender to that death and we say, okay, let's just let it go this way. And I'm just going to praise You, God.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to continue to be a light, and I'm going to worship You and thank You, even if I have to be in the grave of my marriage or the grave of my career and the grave of my finances. I'm going to worship and praise You and watch You resurrect it.
Oh, amen. Oh, it's such a delight to have you in the studio with me today. God bless you. Remember the meeting on Saturday. Call me at 1-866-917-7256. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.